Hiding legal names of trans students from school nurses dangerous, parents warn. A group of parents in Irvine, California, is raising alarm over emails between local school district staff debating whether to hide the legal names of students who identify as transgender from school nurses. A parent, who goes by the pseudonym Sarah Park for fear of retaliation against her family, told the Epoch Times she and other parents are concerned that a decision by Irvine Unified School District staff to conceal the legal names of such students with serious medical conditions or deadly allergies could end in tragedy or death in emergency situations. If nothing is done, some child is going to get seriously hurt or killed, Ms. Park warned. However, the district has denied it has put students' safety at risk. The parent group, Irvine Unified Exposed, obtained an email thread via a public records request between district employees over a 911 call made for a child with what's known as a gender support plan last December. The email exchange refers to Ares, a computer program that allows district staff by way of a toggle switch to either hide or show the legal names of transgender students. If nurses are not being given the student's real name and gender, how are they supposed to give medications or give the child's medical history to paramedics in an emergency? Ms. Park asked. She also questioned whether school board trustees are aware of this potential risk and whether district employees who made the decision to hide such information are qualified to have done so. These LGBTQ coordinators are the ones who are making the decisions of who gets to see the child's legal name, and who only gets to see the preferred name. The parent is only seeing a legal name and not the preferred name, and then it's the opposite for nurses, she said. The show-hide function puts too much power in the hands of mental health specialists who determine what to tell school nurses and what not to tell them, Ms. Park said. Hiding students' legal names could also pose problems for school nurses administering medications such as penicillin, insulin for diabetics, and EpiPens for children with severe allergies. Parents are also concerned that not only have secret gender transition policies created record-keeping confusion, they come at a time when academic performance has plummeted in California. In one case, a student wanted to be referred to by both he/him and they/them preferred pronouns at school, but as she/her when school staff addressed her parents, Ms. Park said. This is so ridiculous. What teacher can possibly keep track of all of this? She asked. This is just unbelievably stupid, a waste of time and taxpayer dollars. Another parent, who also asked not to be named for fear of retaliation, told the Epoch Times she is worried about her child, who has a life-threatening health condition, after recently learning gender support plans can be implemented without parental knowledge. I was horrified to hear that the school nurse and other officials are not involved in this secretive plan. As a parent of a child with a life-threatening health condition, it scares me for my child and all students at who might not receive timely life-saving care due to the chaos caused by this secrecy policy, she said. Schools should not be hiding things. 911 call. The email thread indicates a 911 emergency call was made for a child with a gender support plan on December 8, 2022, and that school nurses and health clerks could only see the child's preferred name in the system. In the email, employees discussed whether they should allow school nurses, health clerks, and front office staff access to the legal names of students on such plans, and eventually decided not to do so. Maureen Muir, a mental health specialist who provides LGBTQ+ community support district-wide, Tim Tatum, Director of Student Services, and Shadlai Kensru, Coordinator of Health Services, made the decision not to inform school nurses, according to the emails. After a 911 emergency at a site yesterday, we found out that the health office and front office staff don't have access to the Show Hide Legal Name button in Ares, Ms. Muir wrote in a December 9, 2022, email. Can we please add all of these folks to get that permission? The same day, Madison Thompson, the IT director, asked in a follow-up to a previous request whether health assistants and nurses should be granted access to the Show Hide button and transgender students' legal names. These staff do not currently have access to this button and thus are not able to view the legal name and gender for any students with gender support plans that have changed their preferred name and gender in Aries, Ms. Thompson writes. More than a week later, on January 10, Mr. Tatum replied to Thompson recommending a group meeting among school staff to discuss potential privacy issues with disclosing this information to such broad groups without student consent. On January 17, Ms. Muir wrote, "Hi Madison. Tim, Shad Lai and I had a chance to meet to discuss the potential privacy issues and at this time we're not going to move forward with nurses and health assistants receiving the show hide legal button." She continued asking for clarification on who actually had access to the information. "Our group did want to check back with you to see if you would be able to give us a list of the groups who do have the show hide legal button, as we are not aware of who actually has the button," Ms. Muir wrote. In an article published in the Northwood Howler, a local publication, on October 31, 2022, about a month after Ms. Muir was hired as the district's LGBTQ+ liaison, she said there had been an increase in students identifying as transgender or non-binary during the COVID-19 pandemic. Ms. Muir, who had previously worked as a mental health specialist and counselor at Portola High School in Irvine, told the publication that while hardly anything positive came out of the pandemic, more students had changed their gender identities. "Before the pandemic, I only had about 6 kids that identified as trans or non-binary," she said. "After the pandemic, though, I had over 27 new kids." She told the Howler one of the most important aspects of her job is training school staff on gender support plans. "But my biggest goal is to establish a trans and non-binary support group network, or at the very least have a gender and sexuality alliance club at each school," she said. More recently, Ms. Muir spoke at a November school board meeting in favor of displaying LGBT pride flags in Irvine classrooms. "But with the celebration of transgender children coming out, some parental rights groups and opponents of the gender-affirming model of care say they are concerned some children might be identifying as transgender or non-binary for the wrong reasons, such as fitting in, teenage rebellion, and attention. They also say they suspect advocacy of LGBT activists might border on recruitment. Public records show that at the end of the 2022-2023 school year, there were 110 gender support plans in place in the district, with 14 in elementary schools. The district, citing state and federal privacy laws, refused to provide more specifics to the parents about the plans, claiming they contain personally identifiable information, including identification of a small cohort of students, which can lead to identification of students, and that it had been advised by legal counsel that the interests protected in non-disclosure of this record outweigh the public's interest in disclosure. Only gender affirmation allowed. Tiffany Kraft, another parent, said the district is pushing gender affirmation as the only way to deal with a child's identity choices, without considering possible comorbidities, such as autism, for example. A comorbidity indicates the presence of two or more diseases or medical conditions. Parents are largely being kept out of any discussion or conversation about this, she said. So, the parent is not told before the student sits down with the counselor and starts having these conversations. The parent, if they're brought in at all, is always brought in after the fact. While parental involvement in gender support plans is recommended for elementary students, the district's efforts to inform parents of those in middle school and high school must be student-initiated, according to Ms. Kraft. She said the school district won't divulge the percentage of social gender transitions to indicate how many are kept hidden from parents. "They cannot give us a straight answer, but they do admit that there are occasions when the parent is not brought in at all," she said. Amid widespread reports of a mental health crisis among students that has been linked to the COVID-19 pandemic and state-imposed lockdowns, Ms. Kraft wonders how students leading a double life and harboring secrets from parents can improve their mental health. "We already have a mental health crisis on our hands. Wouldn't common sense tell you that a student having to lead a double life like this would only exacerbate that?" she asked. "What is the school doing to help remedy that?" For all they've invested in mental health awareness, they're not addressing this piece. That seems like a huge gap. Claiming she has consulted with at least a half a dozen teachers in the district, Ms. Kraft said she's convinced the silent majority of them are uncomfortable with the idea of engaging in conversations with K-12 students about gender identity or having to address the issue in a classroom. They're not on board with all these rules and parameters that have now been established and this heightened awareness surrounding gender identity, she said. They want nothing to do with this. They want to teach, they want to help these kids get up to grade level standard, and they don't want to be bothered with anything more than that. The district administration is pushing gender ideology as part of its equity, excellence, diversity, and inclusion plan and has taken this agenda so far that they're now imposing goals upon each school, she said. Teachers at each school are expected to have individual goals related to improving inclusivity and equity and recognizing diversity, she said. According to some teachers, the hiring of mental health specialists is a trendy state-imposed project loaded with gender ideology that's shoved down their throats frequently, she said, referring to Senate Bill 1229, which established the Mental Health Workforce Grant Program. The bill, enacted last January, increased mental health professionals serving children and youth with 10,000 grants to students enrolled in postgraduate or credential programs at a University of California or California State University or an independent institution of higher education or Department of Social Work. But she stressed, it's ultimately still up to the individual teacher whether or not they embrace it and go along with it, or whether they choose to ignore it. The district clearly hasn't thought through all the complexities of implementing gender support plans, she said. As it turns out, they don't think through them until they're staring it in the face, and by then it could be too late, she said. A former member of the district's Continuous Improvement Council, Ms. Kraft said this so-called community-based partnership group that advises the school board is more astroturf than grassroots because it doesn't fairly represent parents and families. Rather, it is mainly made up of district staff and the Parent-Teacher Association executive, which she claims is fully on board with gender ideology. It was all about all the woke stuff, and they suggest they're doing it because our community is asking for it, which was not what I was seeing. I got a hold of the annual survey results and did not have that same interpretation, she said. The council pivoted from anti-bias and inclusivity regarding culture and race to gender ideology shortly after Ms. Muir was hired to provide district-wide LGBTQ+ support, said Ms. Kraft. That's when I first heard about gender support plans, trusted adults, and preferred pronouns, she said. The 2023-24 continuous improvement efforts document on the district's website states that through a focus on social justice and anti-bias, school staff will help students learn the skills necessary to reduce prejudice and take collective action to improve conditions for underrepresented groups. It also says each school in the district is expected to develop an equity, excellence, diversity, and inclusion plan to be reviewed and refined annually to create a culture that challenges inequity, raises consciousness, and improves conditions for our underrepresented groups. The council seems to be the inception point of all these agendas and ideologies, Ms. Kraft said. Before each school year begins, the school board hears the council's report packed with politically correct and terminology indicative of an ideologically driven agenda, she said. It's really PC, the way they frame it, so the board won't question it. I've protested the goals the past 2 years, she said. The parent group is also concerned about proposed goals suggesting the district should only hire those who are fully supportive of this woke agenda of gender fluidity, she said. When Ms. Kraft pulled her daughter out of public school and enrolled her in a charter school, she was booted from the council, she said. Irvine Unified Response. Annie Brown, public information officer for the school district, told the Epoch Times in an email that nurses have access to see students' information, and that changes to nicknames or legal names in the ARES platform don't prevent staff from seeing medical information. This information is not impacted by show hide feature, she wrote. At no time do names or gender impact medical or other care provided to student. The email chain between district employees, she said, is evidence of commitment to continually improve how we serve students, and it's common after emergencies for staff to debrief and assess where we can improve. Gender support plans, as referenced in the January 17 email between district administrators, have since been updated to say, asterisk in a medical emergency, legal name and gender are released to emergency services, Ms. Brown said. However, she did not explain how the legal names are released. Neither Terry Walker, the district superintendent, Ms. Muir, nor any of the five school board trustees responded to inquiries about whether the school board was aware there was some confusion over the 911 call and why the issue was not addressed by the board. Neither the board nor staff responded to why there has been such a dramatic increase of students identifying as non-binary or transgender and whether the increase could be considered a social contagion, especially among young girls, as described in journalist Abigail Schreier's book, Irreversible Damage. Additionally, the district didn't clarify why if more than 85% of children with gender dysphoria grow out of the condition if they're not socially transitioned according to several studies, is it advocating for gender affirmation as the only acceptable response, without considering treatment for other possible comorbidities, such as autism. The district also did not explain the process of what happens when a student identifies as transgender at school, and whether school counselors or mental health specialists proactively ask students if want to tell their parents, or if is it left up to students to ask the counselor that their parents be informed.